The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, are you one of those people who has retrofitted your home? It's an expensive business, but a lot of people have done it. But an ESRI survey has looked at the reasons for people not doing so. We're joined by Professor John Curtis, research professor with the ESRI. Do we know, John, as to how many homeowners have actually gone to the trouble and expense of retrofitting?
Good evening, Matt. We do. I might not have the number, but over the last decade or more, SEAI have paid out hundreds of thousands of grants. So lots of people have, at some level, retrofitted their home. Some at a lower level, they might have put insulation in their attic, but much smaller numbers have gone for what the technocrats call a deep retrofit, where you really bring your energy efficiency in your home up to a high level.
The suggestions, I think, that maybe 120,000 households have done that to date. But what real benefit do they get out of it?
Well, they get multiple benefits. I suppose the first is they should see a reduction in the running cost of their home in terms of heating. Many people will have sort of a more comfortable home. You may have be able to turn up your heating, but if it's drafty, it won't feel as comfortable. So there are those kind of benefits. And assuming it's done to a high standard as well, there should be improvements in air, internal air quality. So there could be benefits in terms of health, but those are much more difficult to quantify.
I'm putting it out to 0874100102 as to anyone who has done a retrofit, if they want to give us details as to whether they felt it actually was worthwhile or not. Because you've done calculations as well as to what on average people have had to spend on a retrofit. What have you found?
Yeah, well, what we did first of all, people will be aware that the government have a target that about a quarter of the housing stock should be brought up to a B2B or standard. But we're a long ways off achieving that. So what we were interested in understanding is to what extent was the disruption that's involved in having the builders in and, you know, delays and all these kind of things, to what extent was that impacting on people in terms of moving forward. So what we did is we surveyed a sample of Irish homeowners, asking them or giving them, a number of choices to understand how the different elements of, you know, that decision, the ambition to reduce their energy running costs and to bring up the efficiency of their home, but also the impact in terms of disruption. And what we found is, in general, people are willing to pay, invest in their home to reduce their energy running costs. But we also found that at the same time, the higher the level of disruption, the less likely they were to do that. Now, I can hear some of your listeners already thinking we didn't need the ESRI to tell people they didn't want disruption. But what we were really interested in understanding was, to what extent was that disruption overshadowing the benefits?
Could it be that a lot of people might enter into the process not realising that there might be a requirement to move out for a while, and that the moving out, going to live somewhere else for a period of time, could completely change the budgets involved in doing this?
Oh, for sure, definitely. Actually, an interesting thing that we did at the start of this survey is that we asked people to self-classify themselves into one of four categories to understand where they are along their sort of retrofit journey. And very simply, approximately a quarter, 25%, fell into each of these categories. Not exactly, but just for to keep the listeners on track. And the first of these are people who are not as remotely interested in doing retrofits. They wouldn't even dream of changing their home. They're just happy or content with the way it is. Then another quarter would think about retrofitting their home as a possibility, but they haven't really done anything about it. They haven't thought about, you know, plans or builders or costing it. So it's more of, we'll do it at some point in the future when we get around to it. Another quarter are actively planning that. So they're either in the process or they're talking to contractors, getting quotes, all that planning that's involved, and then another quarter have completed a major retrofit. So, you know, before you ever start, there's only a small proportion of households, like a quarter that are actively planning, and maybe another quarter that are thinking about, you know, down the line, but not really at it. So when we think about, your question was about, do people stop? They certainly fall into that category. But when you're in sort of the bubble of, you know, policymaking and all that, you think, or I would suggest that, you know, policymakers think that all households are thinking about this all the time. But in actual fact, you know, it's only a small, well, a quarter of the householders are, you know, in that active space where the government wants us to upgrade our homes.
Okay, there are lots of messages coming in. Retrofitting was the best money I ever spent, said Brian. Walls pumped, attic insulation, new window glass, front door, solar panels. House costs very little to heat or power, but more importantly, is very comfortable now. Yeah, but Brian, how much did that all cost? And how much money did you save by making that investment? Another one says, I got a survey done by a one-stop shop and was quoted €60,000 net of grants for a retrofit, may as well have quoted me €600,000. Another one, I availed of SEA grants for my house. The first thing I did was solar panels that produce electricity. A great job of savings on my ES bill and loads of hot water. I did insulation in-house, which is brilliant for retaining the heat in the house, says Niall in Limerick. But another listener says, the costs for retrofitting are so much more expensive if you apply for the grant. The standards they require are excessive and not cost-effective. Another issue was that you need to apply for a solar grant before you get it fitted. I was unaware and I can't get my grant now. They were fitted earlier this year. Could that be a problem for many people, Dig? It's not just actually as well the physical disruption caused by the installation of the materials and the building labour involved, but it's actually the amount of work that has to be done in going through all the grants and organising the finance and finding the builders can be off-putting to people, John.
No, I think you're right there, and people certainly do that. There's a certain amount of, I suppose, planning, and that's what puts people off. And I think, you know, the people who've responded to you there with the message, they've gone through all that, but they didn't get the grant payments until the very end. So it's in essence, they're a long time waiting for that money to come through. And I think that's also the 4 or 25% or quarters. There are people who are thinking about it down, you know, retrofitting in the future. If they were able to have an incentive at some point to start that process earlier, they might move on to it. In essence, a grant to get someone to come in and sort of point out to you what are the sort of priority things to get done in your home. Because for most of us, we don't really understand, you know, we might think, oh, we'll change the windows first because we can, you know, in a sense, think that's a good thing to do, but that isn't necessarily always sort of best value for money in terms of improving the efficiency of the home.
Well, one final thing, we do have the junior minister responsibility for the circular economy, amongst other things. Oisin Smith with us next to talk about the EPA report on the fall in emissions. But the part of that is there's a target to upgrade about 500,000 homes to B2BER status. Is that going to be achieved? And if it is achieved, how long is it going to take?
Well, I think that's, I suppose, underpins where the idea for this research comes. And, you know, at the end of 2022, there were only about 20,000 homes had achieved that, you know, contributed to that target. I'm sure it's a bit higher now. SEAI will have the figures. But even if it's double that, it's a long, long way off the target. And I think what we were looking into is, you know, within the 2030 timeframe, it's just not practically feasible in terms of getting that number of houses to get the retrofits done. And, you know, the disruption is a big player in that. And what we're investigating or looking at are there other ways in where people can improve, especially their carbon emissions intensity, you know, by other methods than retrofitting their homes. There are benefits in retrofitting. You know, that's the first best option if you can afford it. But if there are ways that we can get people to reduce their emissions without going through all that process. And what I'm thinking about here or suggesting is changing the fuels in our homes. We've got lots of homes that are heated by natural gas and another massive number on kerosene or home heating oil. If those types of fuels can be switched to lower carbon intensity, I'm talking about biogas or the equivalent for oil, then in essence you're at the higher level. You know, you have someone making this corporate decision to sell a better lower carbon fuel. The households then don't go have to invest in the retrofits to get the emissions benefit. And these things are coming down the line, but maybe, you know, as a second backup option, you know, not as you mentioned there's a cost and not everyone has the ability to invest those levels of money. One of your listeners mentioned there, I think it was $60,000 or something in their home. Not everyone has access to that kind of money. So these other options may be a sort of a fallback approach for policymakers.
Thank you very much, Professor John Curtis of the ESRI. Lots of your messages coming in. Lots of you have done this or have looked into doing it. Got the PV solar panels last November, saved a massive amount on electricity bill and of constant hot water. I used a company that sorted the grant paperwork and everything. They did the lot and the cost of the grant just came off the bill. Another one, just completed a refit, €170,000 on the element of the building project, got 32,000 in grants, went from an E-rate BER now of an A1 rating. The retrofit company worked well but didn't pay the builder in a timely fashion. We'll have a better assessment of savings and energy bills in 6 months, but so far very comfortable and delighted with the result.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.